New heading. 3. Communicating faith and joy. The best way to communicate faith and joy to others is through our speech. Our speech not only reflects how we are approaching our lives, but it also contributes to how others will approach theirs. If our speech is positive and filled with faith in God and joy in the Holy Spirit, then others will experience this and be strengthened in the same qualities. If our speech is negative and filled with anxiety, discouragement, and complaint, we will contribute to the erosion of our listeners' faith and joy. The communication of a positive, Yeshua-centered attitude to life is an essential component of gracious speech. The damaging power of discouraging, negative speech is well illustrated in the mission of the 12 spies found in the book of Numbers. While Israel was still encamped in the wilderness, Moses sent 12 men to spy out and report on the strengths and weaknesses and prominent features of the land of Canaan and its peoples. All the spies except Joshua and Caleb returned thoroughly intimidated by the power of the Canaanites. Forgetting the call and promise of God, they spoke disheartening words to the people. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone, in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Numbers 13:30-14:4. God had accomplished signs and wonders on behalf of his people, delivering them from bondage in Egypt, judging their oppressors, feeding them in the wilderness, and speaking to them amid fire and cloud from Mount Sinai. Now the time had come for the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham 4 centuries past, the promise that his descendants would inherit the land of his sojourning. But instead of calling the people forward to possess by faith the land promised to their forefathers, the spies yielded to their anxiety and discouragement and spoke words that disheartened the people and caused them to murmur against their deliverer and to plot together to return to the land of bondage. God responded with understandable anger, and the people were spared only through the intercession of Moses. Even so, they bore their punishment and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until a new generation arose that would be more worthy to receive the promised inheritance. How often do we, like the 10 cowardly and faithless spies, respond to problems or obstacles in our lives with discouragement and unbelief? And how often is our discouragement communicated to others so that they too refuse to seize the land of promise? For most of us, the answer is all too often. Instead of responding with discouragement, we should take as our models Caleb and Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Numbers 14:6-9. Caleb and Joshua responded to the challenge with courage and faith and sought to impart that same courage and faith to others through their words. The challenges we face differ from theirs, but our responses should be the same, courage and faith. Our words should communicate these attitudes to others. It is easy to fall into a pattern of grumbling and complaining. Complaints about the boss and complaints about the kids, complaints about food and complaints about drink, complaints about weather and complaints about health, complaints about time pressure and complaints about fatigue. Negative speech about our circumstances seems to come naturally to our fallen flesh. Nonetheless, God wants us to break free from the old nature and put on the new nature, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Colossians 3, verse 10. Grumbling and discouraging words do not impart grace to those who hear, and therefore they have no place in the speech program of the kingdom of God. This program is based on faith in Messiah Yeshua and his resurrection, and on hope in the inheritance that will be ours when he returns. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Our speech should reflect our confidence in God's saving and protecting power and should impart to others a similar confidence. Words of faith can dispel anxiety. Words of hope can overcome despair. I am not advocating here a Pollyanna or head-in-the-sand approach to problems. We all need to learn how to recognize problems and talk about them in the right way. At times, we are emotionally overwhelmed and need some way of expressing our difficulty in words. In such cases, I have used the following format in sharing with close friends my frustrations and difficulties. Look, John, I know that the thoughts going through my head are nonsense. I don't really believe them. I know that God is with me and will give me his help. But this is how I'm feeling right now. I then proceed to tell my friend what I am experiencing. I expect at the end to receive words of encouragement and perhaps correction from him. I have expressed my problem, but I have also acknowledged the realities of the situation and the truths by which I am committed to live. There is a time for directly and honestly talking about our problems and difficulties. However, such talk should not dominate our conversation. Instead, our speech should be filled with words of faith, confidence, and joy. Such words impart grace to others and allow us to appropriate more grace ourselves.